Some of the notes were jotted down in the middle of the night. God just had me awake, and I was laying there and started talking with him, as is a good thing to do when you're awake in the middle of the night. And so some of these verses started coming to mind, and I was like, Lord, I think you're just based on things that people have asked, questions that have come up, and different things around the in the last few weeks, that maybe it's time for a good message on this particular topic. So just as it says on the screen, we're going to talk, it's part of the essential Christianity, and this is very, very essential, something very basic but very profound, I think, that a lot of people miss over. And I guarantee you, as I read through some of these scriptures today, you're going to be looking at the scripture in a whole different light. You're going to be like, wow, I never thought that that applied to me. I never thought that God meant that this authority was actually given to me as a child of God, or me as a believer, who I am. But before we get any further, let's start with some prayer. Father, we are excited to be here in your presence, Lord. I know that, Father, you draw each of us in to hear your word, to grow in faith, that we may, Father, allow you to do what you want to do in our life. And I pray that today is empowering. I pray that it is something that will take us to that next level, Lord, in our walk with you, that we let go of the complacency, or we let go of the mundane and press forward into the excitement that you have in your word for things that we can live in and walk in, and the direction that you have for each of us, a direction that we can go. And Father, we're praising you this morning for it. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name we say, amen. Amen. So we're going to talk about, as it says on the screen there, our God-given authority. Okay, what does that mean, to have God-given authority? Okay, obviously God has authority, right? Okay, he's the greatest authoritation, that's not a word, let's see, greatest authority. Yeah, he's the greatest authority out there. As we know that he created all things. Melissa used that scripture in Genesis 1:1 this morning, that God is the creator of all things. So we know that he has authority, but what about us? What about our life as a Christian, as a believer? Okay, that's why I think this is part of essential Christianity. Okay, today you're probably going to hear something that many of you did not hear in church growing up. Okay, if you grew up in everyday, most churches out there, many of the denominations in particular, there's some that probably left some of this stuff out. They skipped over it. They read it, maybe applied it, that, oh, that's for Jesus and Jesus only, or that's for the early disciples and the disciples only. You know, they once they all died off, that kind of stuff ceased. But there are some things that I believe I'm going to show you this morning that are completely scriptural. Okay, I'm going to use scriptures. I'll show you, I don't know, 6, 8 scriptures maybe out of the hundreds that are available to show and to point out some of these things related to this topic. And yet it's an often avoided topic in many churches, because just knowing about it, not even living in it, just knowing about it stirs up far too much excitement for the average churchgoer. Okay, it's going to be that stuff that's like, wow, the whoa stuff. Okay, many Christians actually prefer the mundane. Okay, and that's why it gets to be commonplace in Christianity. They like to be able to check off a box that says, yep, I went to church this week, so all is good. Okay, they went through, they're living their life the way that they know how. They check off that box, say, yep, I went to church, and yet all during the week, they struggle. Okay, they struggle with their relationships. Things aren't going the way that they think they should, or just not going in a good direction at all. Okay, they struggle with reoccurring sin in their life, something that they think they start to get a victory over, and then wham, they get hit with it again. They struggle with doubts. They struggle with fears, worry, anxiety. Okay, they never seem to get ahead financially, always kind of living in that cusp of never having enough, always coming up short, or maybe they start to get ahead and then wham, all of a sudden they're back in the underneath again. They're buried in debt. A lot of people struggle with walking in the divine health that Jesus Christ went to the cross, paid a price for, to be able to give to you. I know from my own personal experience, okay, this is, whatever, 28 years of, 27 of ministry, I think, and it goes beyond that a couple years, of walking with Jesus, being taught some of this stuff. I have seen and experienced in my own personal life the kind of victory that comes with understanding the divine authority. I've read in the scriptures, and many of you have too, we have studied out the lives of the early Christians, the anticipation that Jesus, as he was teaching them, the words that he said, the things that he said, what the disciples actually ended up doing. And we've seen and studied this stuff to the point that I can say wholeheartedly, without a doubt, that walking in your God-given authority while on this earth is to be a part of your daily walk in the Spirit, every day, to live it out, knowing you have been authorized to do certain things. Now, the Apostle Paul warned us. He gave some instruction and warning that in the last days, there would be those who profess to be Christians that would live a life that has a form of godliness, okay, going through the motions, kind of look Christian-like, but in truth, they are living a powerless life because they denied the power of God and the power of God within them. Okay? Now, we can all sit back and say God is powerful. But if God's power lies within us, then we can walk in some power and anointing as well. Okay, now Paul said to earnestly avoid these people. They had a form of godliness, but denied the power thereof. Okay, because they were known for worming their way into homes. Okay, captivating the weak-natured. Okay, captivating and gaining the attention of the less spiritually mature who were loaded down with the burden of their sins and so more easily led astray, okay, more easily deceived, okay, because they didn't understand. They were still growing. They still hadn't learned some of this stuff yet. Those people, Paul said, were characterized by their continuous inquiring and obtaining more information. Okay, they seek after knowledge up here, okay, but they were not applying what they were actually gaining. They were skipping over the scriptures related to the authority and the power that God gave to his children. They were said, Paul said, to that they never really arrived at a recognition or acknowledgement of the truth. Okay, they led a powerless life. Okay, and they thrived on leading others to live a powerless life as well, okay, by discounting some of the stuff that I'm going to share with you this morning. Okay, now God's intention for his children is that we will come to know the truth, and the truth shall set you free, right? It frees you up to live the life that God has called us to live, okay? Now, one of the most deepest and most valuable truth is that of the divine power and authority that now resides inside of us as believers and followers of Jesus Christ. What happened when we received Christ? What happened that allows us to walk in victory? If it was up to our own willpower to walk in victory, to get ourselves figured out and get things going, Jesus wouldn't have had to come, right? We know that there was something special that happened, something supernatural that happened. I want to show you in Mark chapter 16, verse 17 is where we'll start this morning. Jesus literally says this about those who will follow him. In Mark 16, 17, it says, "And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they shall cast out devils or demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." Okay, now two of those verses, people are thinking, we're supposed to pick up snakes and drink deadly stuff. The answer is no, you're not. But if you do, like the Apostle Paul went to throw some sticks on a fire, a snake bites him in the hand, he shakes it off, and was perfectly fine. Okay, the snakes will have no power over you. Okay, now casting out demons, speaking in unknown tongues, and healing the sick all sound like a power that is above and beyond our own human strength, and that it is a power that now works through us. Okay, as Jesus is saying, them that believe. I am a believer, right? Are you a believer? I'm a believer. Okay, I believe, and that therefore makes me one of them, right? I am one of them. You can go around and tell everybody if you want to that your pastor is one of them. He believes in the power of God. He believes in the casting out of demons and the healing of the sick and all of these kinds of things. Okay, I am one of them. And I honestly believe that if you have put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are one of them as well. You are a believer. Okay, one of them that believe. He said, these signs shall follow them that believe. In His name we will do these things. Okay, see, thousands of years ago, God established some things, okay, and one of those was some pretty awesome perks, I guess you could say, that we as the children of God can partake of, things that He set in motion so that we could utilize. One of the most basic of those benefits is that of your authority over the spiritual realm that we live in every day. Okay, God spoke to that old serpent, okay, Satan, the devil, right from the very beginning of the fall of man, that whole scene with Adam and Eve and all that stuff that happened right there. And God told the devil that he was permanently cast down and put beneath our feet. Okay, and that means him and all that came with him, all of his seed. Okay, after, if you remember that story, it's after Eve tells God, like God didn't know, but after Eve tells God that it was the snake, it was the serpent. He beguiled me and I did eat. He deceived me, in other words, into eating of the forbidden fruit. And at that time, God ensured that mankind would always have a divine authority over the devil. Okay, let's read this. Genesis chapter 3, verse 14 is where it starts. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly thou shalt go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. You ever wonder where that expression comes from, about eating my dust? That's the lot of the devil, right? That's what God says. All the days of your life, you're going to eat the dust. In verse 15, he says, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. Okay? And it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Okay, now the seed that it's referring to, that God was speaking of, is referring to his only begotten son. The seed of the woman. He knew that the day was coming when his son Jesus would be born of a woman and take back all the power and authority, all the things that Adam and Eve had given over to him. And he takes those things back that the enemy stole through the only weapon that he has, which is deception. He does not have authority over us. The devil cannot make you do anything. He will try to scare you into it. He'll try to push you or lead you and push you in a direction. He will try to deceive you into doing things, but he cannot. He has no authority to make you do something. You know the old expression, the devil made me do it? Okay, he can't make you do it. Okay, he can influence you, and I've seen that. People fly planes into buildings and shoot up stuff and do different things. The devil is influencing by easily, very much so in those cases. The seed that he was referring to is the only begotten Son of God. The reference to Jesus bruising Satan's head with his heel is an explicit picture of the dominance that the Son of God within you is destined to walk in. Okay, it was and is. This is what God said from the beginning. devil, you're going to be under the feet of my son. You will bruise his head with your heel, in other words, is what he was telling Jesus. Now, the Bible tells us that Christ in you is the hope of glory. Okay, well, that word glory means that you can anticipate the manifested power, the splendor, the majesty, and authority of Christ that now resides within you. And we know that the devil and the demonic spirits, the kind of stuff that we see and hear, is not something that was just made up by screenwriters in Hollywood. I don't know if anybody in my old man days, before I gave my life to Christ, probably watched some of the scariest movies out there that had a lot to do with the demonic activity that is available. But demons have been around since the very beginning. Okay? There's the picture that the Bible describes is that of Satan, that he rebels against God and God casts him to the earth. Okay, and as he went, he seemed to swoop his tail and ensnare about a third of the angels and took them with him. Okay, taking them to earth, where they then went about harassing and tormenting people of God. Okay, they're deployed against us. Okay, and trying to use every deception that they can come up with to steal, kill, and destroy from God's people. Okay, or destroy us. Okay, as this happens, there is no indication in the scriptures that I have found that says that the demons ceased to exist ever. In fact, when they were cast out of one, they sought another. If that person or whatever, they got Jesus cast them out and they went into the swine ran down into the water. You know why? Because when they died, those spirits were released again. Okay, that's they don't seem to die off. Okay, which that's a whole different one. We'll get into that some other day. Okay, evil spirits are as active today as they have ever been. And maybe even, I don't know if you could say more so or not, because there's probably the same number. As far as I can tell, they're not multiplying. It makes you wonder about the early Christians and people before there were 7 billion people or 8 billion people on the earth, what they did. But I think a lot of them roamed free, according to the Bible. Evil spirits are described numerous times in the Bible. Numerous times. Over and over again, different descriptions of them. For example, even when the laws of Moses were given, they included specific instructions for dealing with a, quote, spirit of jealousy. It wasn't of God. It was also called a spirit of suspicion. It had to do if a man was convinced that his wife had had an affair. Okay, there were specific instructions on how to go about dealing with that for the man and the woman. The Bible describes several times a spirit of heaviness. Okay, which when you look it up in Hebrew, it referred to a spirit of despair or a spirit of hopelessness. You ever feel that way? Okay, like something is weighting you down. Spirit of heaviness. Hosea the prophet spoke of a spirit of whoredoms, or you could say a spirit of fornication. Okay, is what that word whoredoms meant. Okay, and it caused men to err in their ways, the prophet said. Okay, again, that is not of God. That was a demonic force and a spirit active. In the New Testament, we can see that it is loaded with scriptures related to the spiritual nature or spirits that are at work. Okay, different descriptions of demonic spirits that were found to be tormenting people. Okay, you can probably think of some. I'll give you a couple examples. Luke chapter 13. Starting in verse 10, and he, Jesus, was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. Think of that for a minute. Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman which had a, quote, spirit of infirmity, okay, a sickness for 18 years. And she was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Amen. Somebody say amen. That's a good thing. 18 years of dealing with that stuff that had her bowed over. And she was set free right there. That is a pretty good demonstration of the signs that Jesus said would follow those that believe on him. He was walking in it himself. That spirit of sickness did not stand a chance against him. Okay, right? Jesus says, you're loosed from this spirit just like that. That's what happened. Okay, let's look at another one in Luke chapter 4, verse 33. And in the synagogue there was a man which had a, quote, spirit of an unclean devil. Okay, that means an evil spirit. And it cried with a loud voice, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked the spirit, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and heard him not. And they were all amazed and spoke among themselves, saying, what word, a word is this? For with authority and power, he commands the unclean spirits and they come out. Okay, now if you noticed in the beginning of that passage, it said that in the synagogue there was a man with an unclean spirit or a demonic spirit. Okay, in the synagogue, in the church. Okay, we tend to think that, oh, devils can't attack us. Devils can't be a part of life for the Christian. They're way back then, there's no more in existence. And yet here's an example of Jesus actually in a church setting, and there was a man with a demon attached to his life. Okay, now I'll clarify, I know it'll come up. The Christian cannot be possessed with a demon. You are born again. Your spirit is alive with Jesus Christ, and Jesus and demons don't hang out. Okay, so they cannot get into your spirit, but they can attach to your soul and to your body. Okay, and we saw that with the spirit of infirmity, the spirit of sickness. Okay, we see that happening over and over again in the scriptures. The absolute amazement that we read here in this last verse, it says they were all amazed, okay, because they spoke among themselves saying, what word is this? He speaks to the demons and they flee. What word is this? The absolute amazement of Jesus' authority over the demons was because it was a distinct advantage to the believers of the new covenant that he was bringing in. Okay, if you remember in the Old Testament, there was a time where King Saul had was tormented with a spirit of depression. Okay, and it had got on him and he couldn't seem to shake it. So what did they do? They had David come in and play beautiful music on the harp. And it soothed his soul, and it says the demon departed from him. Okay, that was the way that they addressed it back then. Okay, but now, ushering in the new and better covenant, Jesus speaks directly to the demon with all the authority of God backing him up, and the spirits had to obey his commands. Okay, now, don't get freaked out, but I'm going to tell you that the authority that God has given you gives you that same ability to speak to a demon and cast it far from you. Okay, that it cannot stay in your life. You're troubled, you're distressed, you're anxious, you're depressed. Depressions, there's some things, and I'm just going to throw this out that because I know it'll come up in questions, that there are some things with chemicals within a human body. Okay, I'm not going to negate that. But I know that there are many things that we tend to think of that is actually a demonic force in our life trying to push us into a particular place, maybe to seclude, maybe to isolate, maybe to burst out in anger, maybe to lust, maybe to do different things that is actually a spirit that is trying to attach itself to our life. Okay? Now, the Apostle Paul, as he was teaching and speaking, spoke of several different kinds of spirits. He spoke about a spirit of bondage. Okay, he spoke about a spirit of fear. Okay, you guys, I'm sure, have heard the quote that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love in a sound mind. So did God give you a spirit of fear? No. God gave you power to deal with the spirit of fear. Okay, so if it tries to get on your life and attack you, you could actually do something about it. Okay. Paul talks about a spirit of slumber. In the King James, it calls it a spirit of slumber. Okay, which was like a stupor. It was a lethargy. It was a numbness. Okay, and he described it as an oppressive spirit that caused people to miss what God was saying to them. That's what I want out of my life. I want to be able to hear God clearly. The Apostle John talks about a spirit of Antichrist. He talks about a spirit of error. He talks about the spirit of the world. Okay, and thankfully, John also reminds us, he's the one that said, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Describing Jesus Christ in the believer is greater than he in the world. The demons, the forces, that darkness. He is greater because Jesus is in you. Okay, so thankfully he reminded us of that as well. The Apostle Paul painted a picture for us of the spiritual battle that we walk in every day. And he encourages us to stand up to the devil by applying the armor and using the authority that was given to us by God himself. Okay, let's read that in Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 10. He says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might that he gave you. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the schemes, the deceptions of the devil. For we wrestle not against just flesh and blood, but we wrestle against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Then he describes the armor that was given to us, truth and righteousness, peace and faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And he tells us to utilize our weapon of warfare, which is prayer, that we are now equipped with as a believer. Okay, but you can have all the defensive and offensive weaponry in the world, and it will do you no good unless you are authorized to use it. Okay, unless you're told it's okay to use these things against those attackers. Jesus authorized you to use what he has given you. He set the stage for the battle when he sent out his followers to actually engage with the unseen enemy of our souls. He sends them out. At one point, if you remember, Jesus sends out 70 of his disciples into the world to heal and to love and to preach in his name. And they returned unto him, beaming with testimonies of what they were able to do with the authorization of Christ that was upon them. They came back, in your name, Lord, we were able to do this and this and this. They were amazed by it. Let's read it. It's Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 17. It says, and the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Okay, now these disciples that came back were like many of us. They were overwhelmed with the willingness of God to give such a power unto imperfect men and women. Lord, even the devils are subject unto us in your name. They couldn't believe it. It was hard to get their brain wrapped around it. Jesus gave to his followers power, and in that verse right there, that word is more accurately translated authority over all power of the enemy. Jesus goes on to remind them not to get caught up in rejoicing just because the demons are subject unto their name. He said, that's not the big one. Remember, the big one is that this power is available to all who put their trust in me. Okay, rejoice in your salvation. Rejoice that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's the big one. You know why? Because when your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, a big star is put next to your name that says, this one has all the authority over all the power of the enemy. You are duly appointed to be a ruler over darkness. You are duly appointed. Somebody, Jesus, gives you this authority and says, this one's one of mine. He has authority, she has authority over the demonic realm. Okay? That's a keepsake, something that we can have for each of us who have given our life to Christ. Listen to the words of Jesus empowering you. These are the verses a lot of Christians will skip over. They'll ask for somebody else. That was for them back then. This is not for me today. I believe the rest of the Bible, but I'm not going to believe this verse. Look at John chapter 14. Starting in verse 12. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me, everybody say, I believe on Jesus. He that believes on me, Jesus says, the works that I do, he shall do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. That meant he was going to get holy, to sin holy. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. Why? So that the Father may be glorified through the Son. And if you shall ask anything in my name, Jesus says, I will do it. Jesus wants his Father to be glorified and exalted and lifted up. And that happens when you and I walk in the power, the authority that has been granted unto us. Now, there's one amen. The rest of you are saying, oh me, oh my, I think. The Apostle Paul, for one, took this to heart. You know, it's been said before, I'm just going to throw this out as a little bunny trail for you, but it's been said that the power, the miracles, those kind of things ceased when the disciples ended. Okay? I've heard that before. That defies my lifetime of testimony of seeing just the opposite. But I think that the reason that people say that is because they're afraid to walk in that kind of authority and power today. Because it's the stuff that gets you on the edge of your seat. It's the stuff that is bigger than us. Okay, and it involves walking by faith, saying, God, I'm enlisting what you have given me to be able to lay hands on the sick and see them healed, or to speak to a force that is coming against me. You can see it. Some of you have seen this stuff in your family, in your life before. I promise. I guarantee it. I know you have. It's just a day where nothing seems to go right. Everybody's uptight. All these things are going wrong and bad, and you can't figure out why. Okay? There's a force coming against you, and you can do something about that. Okay, now the Apostle Paul takes this to heart. He says, if this is what's going to glorify God through the Son, then this is what I'm going to do. Okay, and at one point, he gets fed up with a mocking spirit that was following him and the other disciples, and he turns to the woman and he speaks directly to that spirit and simply tells it to come out. Get out of her, quit tormenting her. Okay, in Acts chapter 16, verse 16, it says, and it came to pass, as we went to prayer, this is Luke writing, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination. Okay, now she did not have Christ in her spirit. Okay, you talk about possession, that's why this was possible. A certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying, or through some witchcraft stuff. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, this is mocking them, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this she did many days, till Paul had enough, saw it for what it was, said, I'm going to glorify God through the Son, through the power he gave to me. And it says, but Paul, being grieved, I've had enough, he turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. That is an exact demonstration of what Jesus said, "In my name you shall cast out demons." If you believe that God is the Almighty God, and you believe that the devil and his minions are under your feet, then you can remind both. Remind God that he is God, and remind the devils that they're under your feet. You can do that on a regular basis. So often, some of the recurring torments that are in your life are not just a coincidence. Okay, we are spiritual beings. We have a flesh and blood housing, but we live in a spiritual realm. Okay, if you look up the word spirit in the Bible, it'll be, you couldn't count them on your fingers, I'll tell you that. It's up into the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times that it describes spirits, both the good Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of God, and also all these demonic ones that I've been telling you about. Sometimes what you think is just a negative kind of generational trait is quite possibly a spirit that has been passed down to you. Okay, you assume that because your dad had a bad temper and you have a bad temper, that that's just the way it's going to be. But it doesn't have to be that way. What you think is maybe just a negative aspect of your personality. Maybe you like to gossip. Maybe you like to stir up anxiety. Maybe you've got some different things going on that are plaguing your life. It might actually just be a tormenting spirit that is harassing you. Okay, if you're sick all the time, if you're broke all the time, if you're mad at the world more than you're not mad at the world, okay, it could very well be something in the spiritual realm that can be addressed so that you can get some relief. You know, if you think that things like anxiety or lust or addiction are just your lot in life, okay, I'm telling you this morning, there is a solution available. You should utilize the power and authority that your Savior died on the cross to give you. Okay, the devil and his demons are under your feet. That's why the Bible says we are the head and not the tail. We are above and not beneath. Okay, the devil is under our feet. Okay, he has no ability to be able to force us to do stuff, but he will throw out things to deceive us, to cause us to stumble and fear. Remember, the Bible says that he seeketh as a roaring lion whom he may devour. Okay, he has to have your permission to devour you. Okay, and that's part of where we, understanding this authority that we have, we do not have to yield to that and say, okay, take me over, yield me, eat me, whatever. You don't have to do that. Tell the devil to get out of your life. Tell him to stop. Okay, there are times when you just need to use the authority that God gave you, use the voice that God gave you, and say, no more. I've had enough. In Jesus' name, I say, stop. In Jesus' name, go away. And it has to obey. It has to obey. Amen. I'm going to go with that, but I want you to know this, that if you're sitting there thinking, well, I don't know if I have enough confidence to do that. I don't know if I'm at a place in life. I do. Okay, my wife does. My family does. We've done this for decades at this point in our life. I sat under John and Linda Kyle for 13 years mentoring and still being mentored to this day. He's still my pastor. I still call him. I had one time where I called him up and I said, Pastor, this is going on. I've been dealing with this. It's going on for 2 or 3 weeks. He said, well, let's deal with the spirit. And he named it. You know why? Because discernment of spirits is one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Okay, and I wasn't looking at it from that angle, but he right away saw that and said, let's deal with that spirit. And guess what? It completely went away. Okay? It has tried to come back, but now I can see it for what it is. Now I'm like, I see what you're doing. No way. In Jesus' name, you go away. Okay? And we can keep it in its place. That's the authority. That's the name of Jesus. That's the power in the name. He gave it to us for our advantage. This is our lot in life, not destruction and calamity. Father God, we're praising you this morning. I pray that you help with this message to penetrate hearts, Lord, to get it deep down in. Father, help set aside, push away all the things that would try to cause doubt and fear and worry and all those things. Lord, let us focus on you and your greatness in our life. Let us focus on the power that you did give us. Let us assume and take on that authority that you've given us and just walk in confidence. Walk in a gift that was given to us, to walk in it because this is what you wanted for us. So that we may live in victory in this life. We may live and succeed in all the areas that you lead us to, Father. We're trusting you this morning, Lord. Have your way in our life, Lord. As we yield to you, we succumb to you and your power, your glory, your spirit, we will see it manifest more and more in our life, Lord. We are praising you, we exalt you, and it's in Jesus' name that we say, amen. Amen and amen. Amen and amen. If you have questions on some